This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to Sharp Money. Dave Ross and Holden Kushner coming at you for the next 3 hours. I'm here at the D in fabulous downtown Las Vegas. Holden Kushner is in the great state of Colorado. Wyatt Tomchek will be our star producer of the day. Let me just ask you very quickly. It's a cool, breezy 120 here in Vegas. How is it in Colorado?
In the town I live in, it's 79.
Oh, sounds nice.
Like 86 in Denver, 79 by me. We'll get hot. You know, it'll be in the mid 90s this week, which for me is oppressive. But
90s is oppressive.
Why are we living in Vegas in the summertime? Seriously. Like 120, man?
You know what? Here's what this city needs. You know, like those, they just need a giant mister where wherever you go, just wherever you go in town, there's just a mister going on.
You know, Dave, you talked about when you become president or, you know, commissioner of the NFL. Well, when I become president, I am physically moving Vegas up north in Nevada. I just want to go back in time and be like, hey, guys, I know you have this great idea for this town that could gamble and whatnot, but the entire state of Nevada can do it, and up north is a lot cooler.
Not a bad idea. That's on his platform. Holden, in case you don't know, my presidential platform, I've got two things. And it would help you, I think, even for us doing the show today. Yeah. One is, my first rule as president, my first day executive order, will be to outlaw the prospects of a tie in the NFL. So I will usurp Roger Goodell or whoever is commissioner at that point, and there will never again be a tie in the National Football League. And my second day one executive order is universal time zones. So like if I say, hey, Holden, can you do Sharp Money with us today? And you say, yeah, what time? And then we say noon. Everybody's in the same time. There's no confusion. Oh, well, you, where you are, what are you in the mountain zone? Are you which time? Like that's the dumbest thing. So I just say, let's to hell with it. We have one time. It's for everybody. So no more of these 1 a.m. kicks, 4 o'clock kicks for the NFL, depending on which coast you're in. We just all have the same time. What do you think of that?
That's a horrible idea.
Why is that a horrible idea?
Just because I wanted to disagree with you. You know what I would do? I would get rid of advancing the ball to half court in the NBA after a timeout. So, I mean, you've got all this weather and the time zones. Yeah. I just want to get rid of advancing the basketball.
Could you imagine those are our presidential platforms? People are like, are these guys nuts? That's what they're really concerned about? Yeah, that's what we're concerned about. You can't bring the ball up to half court in the NBA on a timeout. Holden's rule as president, President Kushner. We're going to have JVT, speaking of basketball, join us a little bit later on in this hour. A lot of free agency news over the weekend. Also get his thoughts on Summer League and beyond, and also the Olympics. And Steve Mackinnon is going to join us with his great numbers. Again, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, you need to be in case you really want to take the NFL season seriously this year. Really sharp minds on there. We'll catch up with Steve a little bit later on. Holden, there's one game that did already go on today, no matter what time zone you're in. It's already, I believe, been completed. Sadly, I report that the Pirates have beaten the Mets 8-2. It's all over. That was a 9:30 start for us out here in the West Coast. 9:30 in the morning. They're playing a baseball game in Pittsburgh. Mets, bad loss. Lose 2 out of 4 to the Pirates over the weekend. Holden, what's your takeaway from some of the games this weekend? We're getting closer and closer to the All-Star break next week. One more week to go. What are your thoughts right now where we stand in Major League Baseball?
I mean, I think the big story right now, the Yankees are always a big story,
sure.
But you lose 15-20 and all of a sudden it's the end of the world. Now, really good teams will go through these funks, but Stanton, got to get him healthy. Pitching been an absolute debacle lately. Even Gerrit Cole has not been Gerrit Cole. So a lot of things need to turn around. The ship needs to be righted. Brian Cashman's got to make some moves here. Ooh. And seriously, like you just can't keep going with this staff. They need, to me, another starting pitcher. We'll see what they're going to have to give up to get a frontline starter. I mean, apparently Tarik Skubal is on the block.
And wow.
I know the Tigers. I mean, when you have a guy of that caliber, it's tough to trade, but you know, the contender that gets that guy is going to put them over the top. So the Yankees, to me, are the big, big story right now. And I'm sure you're going to go into a diatribe about the Reds. So please, can you get that out of the way right now?
I told everybody that follows and listens, I was not going to talk about the Reds after getting swept away by those Motor City Kitties. Schuylkill gets it done yesterday to complete the sweep in the Great American Small Park. You know, I do have a ticket on the Reds to have the best record in the month of July. I felt like a genius when they went into the Bronx and swept the Yankees. Little did I know, the Yankees suck. Like, I was like, wow, the Reds playing some really good baseball. They're going to turn this thing around. Then you get the Tigers coming in. Now they're going to play the Rockies. We'll get to their game today. And then they get swept. And so all of a sudden, you're 3-3 just to begin the month. And look at the Red Sox. They're already 5-1. D-backs are 4-2. Again, it's normally, and check your books wherever you make these type of wagers. For mine, it's most wins. So I've got 3 in the book. The leader, though, is the Sox. They got 5 right now. But again, the reason why, Holden, that I made this play, look at their schedule. Well, I thought the tough part were the Yankees on the road to begin the month. And then they had 3 Detroit at home. You got the Rockies coming in for 3. You got the Marlins on the schedule. You got the Nats on the schedule. And I thought, well, if they get 2-1 in the boogie down, we're live, baby. And then all of a sudden, you get swept by the Tigers, and Schuylkill gets it done. By the way, Schuylkill is the favorite right now to win Cy Young in the American League in the betting market. Let me ask you, if you're the Tigers and or you're the White Sox, and everybody's going, hey, what do you want for Garrett Crochet? It's the old question of, well, do I build around these guys, the Luis Roberts, the Crochets, or do I deal those guys and truly start all the way over?
Yeah, so this is the great debate. For a general manager, you have to ask yourself, how many years are these guys under contract and can we contend during those years? If we trade this player, are we going to get key pieces back? So when the rebuild is over, we're going to be a much better team for it. I don't remember many trades where the team that was receiving the prospects got the better end of the deal. Now it's happened before, okay? But and I'm not going back to John Smoltz and Doyle Alexander. Doyle Alexander was not a guy who's going to put you over the top. And if you're a millennial or younger, I apologize.
They have no idea what we're talking about.
Use the Google machine and you can find exactly what I'm talking about there. But for the most part, when you trade a stud, you're getting back prospects. And very rarely are those guys going to be the same level that you need to make it worth the trade. But yeah, at this point, I find it hard to believe that the Tigers are going to give Schuylkill up for anything less than one of the most massive prospect hauls in the game. And then as far as Garrett Crochet goes, you know, he's a very good starter. I personally do not put him in the same class as Schuylkill, although he's been terrific to this point. But I'll say this. I think he'd look good in that Orioles uniform. Oh. They should go after him big time.
Well, and that is the question, though, is can I get, for the return that I get for these prospects, will one of them amount to the player that we're giving away? I'm kind of with you. Like, to me, if I'm Detroit and I got an ace, I got a stud, I'm keeping them. I'm going to keep them. And I know you guys, unless it's like, what would be the ridiculous offer, I guess, is what the GM has to debate that says, all right, this is too good to pass up. I'm getting so many opportunities to cash in and possibly get at least one, if not two, Schuylkills down the road. I guess that would be the determining factor. Because I'm with you, though. If you've got right now plus $1.10, he's the favorite to win Cy Young, good luck getting somebody that in 3 years might be on the level that he's on today.
Yeah, and maybe even 2 years for a big-time prospect, somebody that, blue chipper at that point. You know, I think it's impressive. I go back to the Juan Soto trade. Remember Juan Soto goes from Washington to San Diego? Oh, I had to pull this up. So C.J. Abrams has turned into a pretty damn good baseball player.
Yep.
Mackenzie Gore, okay.
Starter.
And that was it. Yeah, Juan Soto, they weren't going to keep anyways. So I get that. You're in a walk year. You want to deal a guy. I thought Rizzo got a really good return for that, but still, they didn't get a player in return the caliber of Juan Soto.
No.
So again, Schuylkill, Crochet, there's a lot of these guys. And you just don't see young starting pitchers, two blue chip starting pitchers that are on the market or potentially on the market very often. You don't see it. These are not super veterans that are sitting there 28, 30, 31 years old. They're young dudes. And whoever gets these guys giving up the big haul, you're going to get a really good pitcher for the rest of the year and at least next year.
Yeah, when you that deal, and obviously everybody in D.C. was like, oh, my goodness, we're going to trade away Juan Soto. They weren't going to pay Juan Soto, right? So that was the deal. We're not going to pay him. So we'll let somebody else pay him, but we'll get your prospects back. So that was kind of the thought, as you mentioned, with Rizzo in D.C. at that time. It is fascinating because that's the mental gymnastics you have to go through as a GM. If we're not going to pay the guy, right? We saw this with Bryce Harper in D.C. We saw it, Alden, right? Where all of a sudden they're like, well, we'll give you an offer. We'll make you an offer that we know you won't take so that our fan base goes, well, at least you made him an offer. And then you only get compensatory picks because you didn't get anything for Bryce because you waited too long and then he walked. Like, that's probably the worst case scenario, right? Is that at least the Nats, they saw it with Soto and said, all right, we know we're not going to pay him, so we'll trade him now to get two top prospects, at least at the time, in Gordon Abrams. And that way we know at least we've got something because we're not going to pay him at the end of the year.
It's worked out one time, and it was a stroke of luck. Going back to the Nationals, Alfonso Soriano, is years ago. They ended up getting a compensatory pick. It turned into Jordan Zimmermann, who turned out to be a really good number two starter for a while. But more often than not, it doesn't work out. I expect Crochet to get moved. Skubal, big question mark.
I would think if Skubal and or Crochet get moved, that's going to switch the odds boards to wherever they go. Because we're going to assume that it's going to be a fringe, if not already contending team. That's the type of anticipatory move. We don't know who's going to get them. But if you could figure out where one of those guys goes now, that number you're going to get today will be a lot better than what you're going to get by the All-Star break here or by the trade deadline if those guys do, in fact, get moved. I'm with you. I think the White Sox are going to deal Crochet. I think they're going to deal Luis Robert, too. And that's going to change somebody else's fortunes in the middle of their lineup. Okay, a lot to get to here on this show. When we come back, let's talk about the Olympics and maybe the new dream team. We'll discuss next here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason, can you believe this, kicks off in less than a month. And lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our all-new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems, and trends like how to win with our betting splits. Plus, top picks for season win totals, futures, props, awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. So to access this invaluable information, you need to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. For limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we're going to add in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide in this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SHARP. Get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with the promo code SHARP. Back alongside Alden Kushner, Dave Ross here at the D in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Look, I am not a massive Olympics guy. I love our country. I'm going to be president one day. I already told you guys that. But that doesn't mean I'm necessarily the biggest wave the flag guy for the Olympics. I wish I was. Just the events normally don't entice me that much, right? I'm so used to pro football and college football and all the things that we're so accustomed to. The Olympics, for some, not necessarily for me. I was enthralled by the Dream Team way back when. Because remember, Holden, we're old enough to remember. That was the big debate. We had college kids do it forever. And then we said, you know what? Screw you guys. You're all playing with adults. We're going to have our adults that get paid handsomely go into the Olympics, and we're just going to destroy you. I think we played Angola first time. Charles Barkley, like, elbowed an Angolan guy, I think, all the way out of the arena. Maybe not that far. But we just stomped on everybody, right? The Dream Team, we all loved it. It was like American superiority, and we just, like, pounded everybody into the dirt. I enjoyed that, Holden. Are we going to see that again? Because I feel like the rest of the world is starting to catch up with our basketball superiority here because we're getting right around the corner here to the Olympics. We are the favorites to win gold in men's basketball, -390. Canada yeah. is this at +900. Come on. Canada can't beat us. France.
Have you seen Canada's roster?
Who they got?
I don't know,
buddy.
They've
got some legit players.
Canada. This is going to be the biggest challenge that any U.S. team has faced. And this includes that stupid team that lost. What was that? The Vince Carter, the dunk over Frederick Weiss.
Yes.
So, listen, that was an aberration. And then Team USA said, listen, we need to revamp this whole thing. Let's get back to basics. Let's make this team play. You've got to commit. And they did. And that was Coach K there. This is different. This is the rest of the world has been catching up to us. So, yeah, Canada. You know, I thought Canada would be even better sooner. Let me go drag up the roster again. They finished third in the FIBA World Championships. And for those of you that don't know, Germany won that one. Serbia was second. Canada was third. The U.S., we were a debacle. You know, we didn't have our best players, but we did not play well. So here's who's on Canada, okay? Nikhil Alexander-Walker, pretty good.
Heard of him.
RJ Barrett, pretty good. Oche Brissett, you've heard of him. Dylan Brooks, Kelly Olynyk, Dwight Powell. I mean, this Jamal Murray, this team is loaded with NBA talent.
You're forgetting one more, Holden. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
SGA.
Yeah.
Legit. The MVP.
And also, and Kent Birch, UNLV grad. I just want to throw that one out there as a fellow UNLV grad. So,
but wait a minute, SGA. There was a couple nice names in there, Holden. But that can't beat Team USA, right?
Well,
we can't lose to those maple syrup drinking people north of the border. We can't do that.
Oh, do not talk about our cousins to the north that way, Dave. Our beautiful cousins to the north.
I think that's Manitoba
and Nunavut and Nova Scotia.
Could you imagine
Columbia?
This is our game, James Naismith. It's not their game. Hockey's their game.
He's Canadian. We can't. James Naismith was Canadian.
I was going to say, Dave, I don't know, you guys are going to have to look this one up. He's going 2003 Hollywood Rock heel. Yeah. He had a Toronto promo where he said the same thing.
I mean, this is, I believe, the way the war was started against Canada and South Park. Isn't this how it started? They declared war on the Baldwins. Look, all I'm saying is, US of A, we can't lose to Canada. We can't lose to Canada. Look, if we lost to Serbia, and by the way, you mentioned Serbia a little bit down the odds board. France is the third betting choice here at 10-1. Serbia is 13-1. Greece is 19-1. Germany 28. Come on, we're not losing to Australia 45-1. Spain, Ricky Rubio is not walking through that door 50-1. Brazil 100-1. Puerto Rico 300-1. South Sudan 400-1. And Japan, my goodness, we lose to Japan 500-1. We just stop playing the Olympics. So, look, we should be. I actually think we should be bigger favorites. You don't. You think we're overvalued?
Aren't we? Minus $4 just about?
Yeah, minus $3.90.
Yeah. Yeah, so
We should be minus $8.
It's not easy anymore. It used to be where we could just go out and roll people.
Roll the balls
again,
out there.
Canada's terrific. Germany beat us in the FIBAs. Germany has a whole bunch of pros, too. Dennis Schroeder is, you know, one guy you'll know. Let me see here. Daniel Theis. They've got NBA guys. The Wagner brothers. They've got guys that Germany team has played together for years. There's Greece with Giannis. He's not going to do it.
Well, that's the
team that scares the hell out of me. The team that scares me, and not this year, 4 years from now, is France. Because Wembanyama is likely going to be the best player in the National Basketball Association, right? So they got Batum. They got Bilal Coulibaly.
How old is Nicholas Batum at this stage? Isn't he 50?
I don't even care. These guys play with each other year round, and then we get our guys coming in, and they're better than everybody else. We get our guys coming in, but it's not like it's easy. And I'm going back to Serbia, too, because you've got Jokic. You've got Jovic.
Now you're talking.
They're going to have the best player on the floor, which always gives you a chance to win.
Absolutely.
Spain is another team. Nobody's talking about Spain. Spain gave us a run for our money at those last Olympics. They're another team that plays all year round. So I don't think it's going to be as easy as you think it's going to be. Do I think they're going to win? Ultimately, yes. But I would not be shocked if they lost a game in these Olympics.
As a Milwaukee Buck fan, don't forget about Greece and the Greek freak. He might be the only person that I know on the team, but I'm just saying.
Well, here's the way I look at it. The only people that can beat the United States are the United States. If we get in there, we got team turmoil, right? Who's going to get all the shots? Who's going to lead the team in scoring? Joel Embiid, by the way, on the odds board, is the favorite to have the most points for Team USA. He's at plus 350. Kevin Durant, not getting any younger, plus 450. Anthony Edwards, young kid over there, plus 550. Some guy named Steph Curry, LeBron James, heard of those? 6-1s, right? So the way I look at it is, Holden, I say, if we can be a cohesive unit, we blow everybody out. But if we play hero ball and we want to be the star of stars because it's the Olympics and we all go back to Jordan and the Dream Team and Barkley, and everybody still talks about that team for a reason. Everybody still talks about Vince Carter with that dunk over Frederick Weiss. I mean, we still talk about it decades later. That's what these guys are thinking. How can I make a mark so that 20 years from now, like Dave and Holden are doing right now, they're still talking about this team? Do you think there's any chance that the egos in that locker room are the sabotage of good old US of A?
No. And this is a better team than 2020. That 2020 team had JaVale McGee on it.
Oh boy.
Like, that's what we were throwing out there in 2020. There's too many veterans. LeBron's been there 20 times, it seems like. Kawhi's back. You've got Durant, who's been there before. There's too many veterans. So Ant Edwards is going to kind of take the torch after this one. LeBron's going to be done in all likelihood after this one. Durant's going to be old too. Steph Curry will be old. Those guys, this is out with the old and in with the new. So I think you've got Booker. I think you've got Ant Edwards, the young guys learning from the older guys. And Booker was on that team in 2020 as well. I'm not worried about this team being selfish. I think that with LeBron still there, with Curry, with Durant, these are guys that have been there, that have done that, that know you can't play hero ball. So again, I think the U.S. wins this thing, but it's not going to be a steamroll like you think it is. They're going to be in a couple of really, at least, I would think at least, especially in those medal rounds, at least two really tough games. And I'll say it again, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost one game.
If you had to play, who's going to have the most points? I would look to those two young guns that you mentioned, Anthony Edwards at plus 550 and Devin Booker at 7-1. Would you go with those type of players? Or do you think we go, I mean, Embiid, that's a short number at plus 350.
Yeah, if you're betting Embiid, you're basically, you're betting one other guy, I suppose. And I could see Embiid being the leading scorer, but there's other guys like Steph Curry. Steph Curry's a guy that stands out to me because, you know, this is a team that could shoot the three. Why wouldn't Steph Curry? His head coach, Steve Kerr, is over there. So Curry's trying to make a big statement here. Durant, always in the mix to score a whole bunch of points. And Edwards, not a bad option. I mean, it's logical that Embiid, the scorer that he is going to put up some massive points. But you also have to remember, this guy is brittle. Like, how much can we trust him to stay healthy? So the guys on this list that I really like would be Steph Curry at 6-1, Durant at 4.5-1, and that'd be that.
What?
And don't forget about the FIBA rules where there's no defensive 3 seconds, so it's a little bit different down low in the paint.
Was that an executive order by FIBA?
That's just how they play.
Oh. Yeah, get that flag up there. Let's go, US of A. We are back next with JVT talking more hoops.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Before you make those daily wagers, be sure to check out VSIN.com to get your best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state like Colorado, because they do vary. Betting tools, betting guides, they are there for you each and every day at VSIN.com. Back alongside the very cool Holden Kushner, 80 degrees in Colorado, 115. Why is that what we got here?
78.
What does 78 feel like? That's like that's December for us.
No, that's the whole. See, here's also another thing that I will die on a hill is that Vegas winters are just cold enough to be like uncomfortable.
I've never worn a jacket in the 3 years that I've lived here. Not once.
You don't wake up early enough, you know, when it's 30 degrees.
No, I'm not going to go running if that's what you're asking. I'm not going to do that.
You do your push-ups, so.
I do my push-ups. Yeah. That's what I do. I do believe we want to talk a little bit more.
Oh, we do have JVT.
Oh, there he is. Jonathan Von Tobel is kind enough to join us now. Of course, does a great job on the network. Co-host of VSiN Primetime. You can follow him on X as I do at MeJVT. Jonathan, great to catch up. I feel like you and I have talked a lot this weekend about the game of basketball. I want to switch it up a little bit and start with the Olympics because Holden and I were just talking a little bit about it in France coming up this summer. I'm one of those old, snotty, snooty Americans that I just assume we're going to blow everybody out. It's not going to be close. We're a 390 betting favorite to win the gold. Canada is the second betting choice at 9-1. Holden tells me I'm crazy, and I think it's going to be a little bit more competitive. Is it going to be competitive? Or are we just too damn good?
You know, it's tough because I do think that I want to give these other teams a little bit more credit than 9-1 or 10-1, right? There'll be Canada and France. So we have the host nation in France that boasts two of the best defensive centers that we're going to see on the floor at any one time, Rudy Gobert and Victor Wembanyama. You have incredible guard play for Canada led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You've got Lou Dort. You got Jamal Murray on the roster. I think that those teams are deserving of more. And I think one of the things is, you know, Dave, if I had a full time in terms of an offseason, right, to integrate guys and get them ready to go and all that stuff, then I do think that a team USA at minus 390 would make some sense given the level of talent we have, right? Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, Steph Curry. But there is something to be said of putting a team together this quickly and then going out and playing competitively while Canada, remember, they played together for the most part. They were in the FIBA World Cup. Most of France has played together. Germany won the World Cup. So like you look at all of these teams and there's at least a little bit more continuity and guys are used to playing with each other, where Team USA has this mercenary feel type where it's like, hey, a bunch of guys are really good, but we're all coming together for a short time. Can we build that continuity enough to get this thing done? So I think they deserve to be favored. I want to make that clear. But I do think the degree to which they are favored is a little strong. We've seen it. We saw minus 400, minus 410. We're down to minus 390. I do think at 9-1 and 10-1, Canada and France are worthy of a wager at those numbers.
Ross, I'm telling you, man, maybe you'll listen now that JVT said it. You're not going to listen to me. That's exactly what I'm saying, buddy. These other teams have caught up. There's a lot of talent there. Yep. They play year round. Don't forget about Spain. Germany won the FIBA. Again, we didn't have our best team out there at FIBA, JVT. No. And good to see you. It's been a long time. Love the cut, the tight cut.
But yeah, thanks.
Let's talk about this team compared to the 2020 team, because that team we were talking at JaVale McGee.
Oh, boy.
This team, this team is built a little bit differently, and I like it. You know, they've got big, big centers. They've got a couple big guys with Embiid, and you've got Davis, and they can just sit in the paint the whole time. You got three-point shooters. You got LeBron, and Ant Edwards says he's going to be the best player on the team, or he is the best player on the team. So can you give us a little rundown of this roster? Because I'm a fan. I don't think it's just throwing a bunch of stars together. I think that they figured out stars playing certain roles, and it's not going to be one-on-one basketball.
Yeah, for me, I think holding like what's going to stick out to me is that their defense. I think they're going to be very, very good defensively, and that's something that you can translate pretty easily, right? That offense, you've got to know what your spacing is, what other guys like to do, and all that kind of stuff. So that might come on a little bit slower. But you think about this defense, what they have: Anthony Edwards, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, the two Anthonys. Like you have some really elite defenders. LeBron James, when he wants to defend, is a very good defender, and we haven't even scratched the surface of some of the depth that they have coming off the bench too. I think this team is going to be an elite defensive team the second they hit the ground running. So that's going to be fun to watch because they've got elite wing defenders that they're going to be able to shut down other teams. And I think that's kind of going to be how they make their hay as they get into Olympic play. And we're going to see them against Canada. It's going to be a really good test on Wednesday in that friendly to see exactly what they're going to look like. But I'd venture a guess that this team's strength is going to start with them defensively. And remember, you know, Steve Kerr, of course, head coach of Team USA. We remember those Warriors teams for being great offensive teams, but that was a team and that was an era that made their hay on defense. They were one of the best defenses in the NBA, Golden State, when they were making their run. And a lot of that had to do with Steve Kerr. And I think Kerr's going to have this team ready to go on that end of the floor.
JVT, if you go back really kind of the last 20 years, it seemed like Carmelo Anthony just shined whenever it was international, right? It was like, it was this weirdest thing where he becomes the most beloved guy in the team and he leads him in scoring and all these things. Is there going to be a player like that? I know Embiid's the shortest shot at plus 350 to have the most points for Team USA. Durant's the second betting choice. And then those young guns, Anthony Edwards comes into play, go down a little bit to 7-1 to Devin Booker. Will it be a veteran like Melo, or do you think it'll be a younger guy that kinds of lead us? Will they be able to pass the torch, if you will, and anoint somebody to be the star of stars?
You know, I think you're going to look at Kevin Durant. Like he is kind of taking that mellow shape, Dave, where he's been there, right? Like he has actually been answering the call and performing on these Olympic teams where some of these guys are not consistently on this squad. So like, I think Kevin Durant, just given what he is, right? We know exactly how kind of a problem he can be when it comes to the way he scores, his release point, his shooting, all of those sort of things. And none of these other squads really have an option for him. I think I would look toward Kevin Durant. I think that he is going to have a strong Olympics here, and he's got a history of playing FIBA basketball. And I think he's going to be comfortable right away.
Yep, that's my guy, Durant. Yep. And probably Steph Curry too, right? I mean, Kerr's gonna run him out there. Curry, three big time 3-point shooter still. Those are my two guys. I just wonder what you think of Ant Edwards at this point, what kind of run he gets.
Yeah, really quick to the Curry point, I do wonder, these guys are such fine-tuned athletes, right? So they know exactly where they're at and everything like that. But this three-point line is different than the NBA. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is going to be easier for Curry. But I'm not sure if that's the case, just because, like, a difference when you're used to shooting in terms of where the three-point line is and whatnot. It's going to be interesting to see how he reacts to that. But I think, to your point about Anthony Edwards, I think Anthony Edwards is Anthony Edwards. And I think a lot is being made of the comments. That's Ant. And I think a lot of these players understand that that is Anthony Edwards' personality. And he's going to speak like that. He's going to talk like that. But he is an elite two-way player, as we have seen, when he wants to be. And the supporting cast around him is so much better from an offensive standpoint, other than what he has in Minnesota, that I think he's really going to be able to shine here on both ends. So I think it's going to be a really good run for him. And remember, too, like you mentioned, Holden, right? Not a lot of these guys around for the FIBA World Cup, but Anthony Edwards was. So he's had his taste of FIBA basketball. He played it last year, too. No, I think that this is going to be a strong showing for Man on both ends.
JVT, when I look at host country France, they're the third betting choice here at 10-1. You mentioned Gobert and Victor on the inside, right? There is no defensive 3 seconds. So you can just camp out in that lane with these FIBA rules, as Wyatt was informing me on. Does that benefit France, that they're going to have some size? I think we're kind of like, we want to be freewheeling and, you know, kind of have our space to operate, if you will. If France gets their way, could these rules help them out and say, you know what, we're just going to pack it in the lane, boys. You knock them down from distance, so be it, but you're not coming in here.
100%. And remember, the goaltending rules are different too, Dave. So like, that's going to be something as well. And it's some of the rules that I really wish that the NBA would start to adopt, because I love FIBA basketball. It's absolutely awesome. But I do think that's what makes France being a very, very serious threat. Look, guard play, I think USA has a distinct advantage against a team like France. But if you're talking about along the interior, the ability to defend the paint and the rim, there's a question that France has an upgrade or an advantage over what team USA has, even with Anthony Davis there, because they just have so much size. And they could get a little crazy. What if you do put Wembanyama on the floor with Rudy Gobert, right? Because you can at least have a three-point shooter. I don't think you can do that all the time, but you can at least get away with it at times. So I think France, given how good they can be defensively, remember, they also have good elite wing defenders, Nick Batum among them, and the fact that they are the host country, so you have a home floor advantage to an extent. I think France is being a little slept on here when you're talking about 10-1 to win this entire thing.
I'm with you. And then the last thing for me on the Olympics would be Serbia, because they got the best player in a game, Nikola Jokic. So it's Jokic, it's Jovic, it's all the Yo stuff going on with them. But I think that's a team that can make a little noise too. Are they going to beat Team USA? No, but we know in basketball, when you got the best player on the floor, you got a chance.
Yeah, and I do think that there is a sense here, as we're kind of talking about, right? And you're talking about Serbia down to 13-1. Greece, as we know, we saw Giannis the other day crying because he gets his team to the Olympics for the first time, I think it was since 2008. Germany, the reigning FIBA World Cup champions, where I think that sometimes the odds kind of reflect this thought that Dave has, right? Which is for America, of course, right, we should be dominant here. But I do think that that's somewhat lost in the sauce, is that these teams are very, very good. And there's a lot of deep talent in each one of these countries, going all the way down to Germany. And at one point, the Australians, too, were absolutely tremendous. That team's gotten a little bit longer in the tooth, though not as effective. But still, I think that the odds don't reflect how good some of these teams from Canada, France, Serbia, and Greece can really be when it comes to competing in this tournament.
Yeah, JVT, I said to Holden in the last segment, I said, you know, it's James Naismith, it's our game. And then Holden said, he's Canadian. So I didn't even know that. I didn't realize that Naismith, we got a Canadian that invented our game down here in the States. Jonathan, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line. Enjoy the Olympics. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Great stuff from JVT. Yeah, you know, I'm seeing it your way a little bit more now, Holden, after that conversation with Jonathan. But you made the other good point. France might be live, but they also could surrender at any point.
You weren't supposed to say that on the air.
It's a historical joke, everybody. When we come back, let's talk a little Major League Baseball. That's next year in Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. This guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, which includes in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best feature bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, the Roy, and Coach of the Year awards. Whether you are a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. So visit VSiN.com/guide. Get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com sharpmoney.com/guide. Back alongside Holden Cushman, Dave Ross here as we continue this edition of Sharp Money. A lot of fun having JVT on in the last segment. Spirited conversation about our chances overseas in France for the Olympics. We are -390 betting favorites to get it done. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more because we're going to talk some baseball here, and we're kind of talking during the break about legacies and guys like a Dallas Keuchel. He goes yesterday to L.A. and somehow, in year of our Lord 2024, beats the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. And you go, how does that happen? Right? Like Dallas Keuchel. And then I think because he's been so bad for the better part of 2 years, bounced around, dropped. It's kind of like Madison Bumgarner a little bit, right? And that the end didn't look as good. We forget about how great Dallas Keuchel was at one point. Now, the Dodgers, and that was 9-2 last night, Brewers. But look, I mean, he pitched very well yesterday. Is this sustainable for the Brew Crew? Because they still are right now in the Central. You got to lay 340 that they hold on to this big lead that they have. It's been dwindling a little bit as St. Louis has cut into it just a bit. But if you keep throwing out there Dallas Keuchels, don't they need to do more at the trade deadline if you're Milwaukee in order to wrap this thing up?
Yeah, 100%. But they also have a nice little cushion out there. And it's been a little while since we worked together. Last time we worked together, the Cardinals were super bad.
Oh, yeah.
And now they've become a slightly above average team as of late. But I still look at the Brewers. This team's just mashing, man. This team's mashing. Yelich is back doing what we expected him to do. Look at their rotation with Freddie Peralta and Savali. Even Colin Ray. So they do need some help in the back end of the rotation. No question. And I think they go out and they do that. The Brewers historically have made some pretty big splash moves at the deadline. Now CC Sabathia was one of those guys. They're just a very, very well-tuned machine right now. They will go through a funk or two, but if they can bolster the back end of that rotation, they're going to be just fine. I don't think there's any reason to bet on them at that number, but there's also no reason for me to bet on any other team, including the Cardinals.
By the way, Cardinals 500 right now, 47-42, but still 5 games back in the division. Look at those battling Buccos. They beat my Metropolitans earlier today, 8-2. They're still 5 games under, 10 games back. But boy, do they feel like, you know, with Jones and Skeens, obviously, they've got young arms that you go, okay, it's probably not going to be this year, but it does feel like that team's coming, right? I mean, they're not that far away.
Well, they're not far away on the mound. They just can't hit. Like, there was a stretch for about, I'd say, 6 to 8 weeks where it was just pretty easy. Go look at the Pirates. Go look who they're facing. Go look at the bullpens and bet their team total under. Mm. Like that team, or an all, you know, parlay it with the same game parlay or something like that. But they just can't hit. And it's tough. I know it's tough in that ballpark, but you tell me, outside of Brian Reynolds, really, O'Neill Cruz, they've got some names.
Yep.
But for the most part, these guys, like Key Brian Hayes was, if not the top prospect in the game, one of the top, and he's got a sub 600 OPS. So the Pirates, we're all excited about the front end of their rotation, but they can't hit. So they might be more than a year away from contending.
By the way, O'Neill Cruz, he at the end of the game, trainer had to come see him. Don't know what that is. Just keep an eye on it, everybody. And by the way, that's the thing, too. If you're betting on the Pirates, you're betting on Skeens for Rookie of the Year and or Cy Young. Remember, there's a good chance they shut him down. There's a very good chance they just say, you know what, we're 10 games back. Pitched last year, LSU, he hasn't had a break. We don't want to run this kid into the ground pitching September games that are meaningless for us. There's a good shot that if you got those future tickets, be careful, because he might not pitch the last month of the season or so. I know the Astros have been the fast trackers here in the AL West. Speaking of teams that can't hit, oh my goodness, Seattle. It is just tough to watch them offensively. I don't know what's happening with Rodriguez. I just look at this team and I go, they should be better than they are offensively. Cal Raleigh, they've got some sticks in there, but they just don't seem to, some of the parts don't add up. Are the Astros going to run them down?
That's my team right now. The Astros are playing much better baseball. Bregman has decided to wake up. Altuve's doing his thing. Jordan's doing his thing. Obviously, Kyle Tucker's injured, but he was on fire earlier in the season. So maybe they make a move for a bat. Maybe they don't. Maybe they do make a move for a bat. I look at their rotation, and Ronel Blanco has been terrific. Verlander's not the same guy. Framber Valdez, the lunch lady man, fine as a number two. Blanco, fine as a number three. Hunter Brown's coming around, but they need to fill in that number four, maybe five. They need another starter mid to back end of the rotation. And I think once they do that, and maybe, you know, a little concern there about the closer situation at this point, but they're just such a talented team. And while the Mariners have so much pitching,
oh man,
can they keep that up for the rest of the, not only for the rest of the season, but at some point in time, they're going to have to start hitting. And we haven't seen it. I know there are some bats. You mentioned Julio, you mentioned Cal Raleigh, but we have not seen the results. Houston's been there, done that. A lot of people were counting them out. They're still in it. And if there's a team that's not already in first place that I think can make that run, it's the Houston Astros.
What about those Rangers? The staff's starting to get healthier. You know, Scherz is back. Don't know about DeGrom, obviously. Six games under, six games back. Could the defending reigning champs make a run here in the second half?
I mean, Seager just keeps getting injured like all the time. It's absolutely wild, and it's a little bit frustrating. Yeah, they could. They're six games under, though. You mentioned that. And they're chasing two teams that, as of right now, are better than them. So I loved the Rangers last year. I remember, you know, being on VSiN right around this time last year with Jared Smith, where I'm saying, hey, man, watch out for the Rangers. The Rangers were on a roll. It doesn't seem like they got the same mojo right now. The injuries, starting pitching, there's some issues there. Are they in the mix for a playoff spot? Well, what are they, 8.5 back out of a wild card with like six teams ahead of them?
Six back of the divisions.
I don't want to bury them, but they're in a lot of trouble. Again, Astros, Mariners for me in that division.
I got one here, Holden, and it's not the Cincinnati Reds. No. Don't worry about it. We're not going to talk about it.
But
we're going to talk about a division that's near and dear to both me and Dave's heart, the NL East.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Braves just took 2 out of 3 against the Phillies. The Braves have come back from numerous deficits. I'm really sorry, Dave, to bring up the one 2 years ago that the Mets were up like 10.5.
Too soon.
Any thought on the Atlanta Braves being able to catch the Phillies? Because the Braves' pitching has been great. Just the hitting has just been very, very unlucky.
Yeah, I don't think the Braves are going to catch Philadelphia at this point. That Philadelphia is the best team in baseball at this very moment. Are they going to be the best team in baseball come September? They'll be one of the handful of best teams, but I need to see more consistency out of this Atlanta offense. It's still there. The talent is still there.
Yeah.
Yes, you're missing one of the best hitters there is, but Austin Riley actually, you know, crushing lefties. Kelnick, Jared, if we were talking about the Mariners, how frustrating has it got to be a Mariners fan to see that Kelnick was one of the biggest busts in the history of that organization? Then he goes to Atlanta, where they know how to cultivate young talent, and they've turned him around. Like, he's not a superstar, but he's doing a nice job of getting on base at the top of that lineup.
He's
right?
been perfect, perfect for filling in for Ronald Acuna.
You guys know who drafted Kelnick, of course.
Yeah, the New York Mets.
There you go.
You know where Jared Kelnick is from?
Where?
Old Waukesha, Wisconsin, home of TNT Ace Hardware, which is owned by my uncle. So shameless plug right there.
Basically, you own Jared Kelnick. Here's the thing. When I look at the Bravos, you know, to say that they didn't miss a beat when they lost Acuna the last time, it's true. They won the World Series. It's amazing. Now, this time around, not so much. Still 10 games over. I think it's really impressive that we always kind of talk about, oh, what's wrong with the Braves? What's wrong with the Braves? If it were for the Phillies running away, and by the way, the Phillies are doing this right now without Schwarber and without Harper, which is really impressive. The Braves, to me, like, that's rich man problems. Like, you guys, if you think that's bad, then welcome to Mets fans. I mean, like, we would kill to have the problems that the Braves have with a loaded lineup that you could survive Acuna Jr. being lost for the year and win the World Series. Nobody else can do that. The Braves are able to do that. So, cry me a river on those
Braves. And if you remember, it was the Braves being aggressive at the trade deadline, getting Jock Peterson, Jorge Soler, Eddie Rosario, Adam Duvall. Loved it what Alex Anthopoulos did that year.
If I was MLB commissioner.
I would need
have,
Rooker.
I would have nuked that trade. I said, no, that cannot happen. Braves cannot be good again. Much more to get to. Hour number two, going to talk a lot more baseball and beyond right here on Sharp Money.